Here we go. So we are, ironically, talking about freedom this morning. And so scripture, we're talking about freedom. And so I was thinking about the document of the Declaration of Independence. There's an interesting, oh my goodness. Hang on. Oh my gosh. Hang on. Jesus didn't have this trouble. Okay, we're just going to have to do it that way. Okay. So, take two. So, I was thinking about that document of the Declaration of Independence, and I was thinking about how that relates to us, right? So, there was a time in history where the people of God were suffering under bondage. Many of us know the story of the bondage of Egypt. And I believe God gives this amazing declaration of independence, and it comes through a burning bush. As Moses walks up to this burning bush and sees this bush that is on fire but not being consumed, and like all of us, he would have walked over and went, hey, what's going on? Right? He was going up to check it out, right? And so God gives them, I believe, and I will just for preach sake, how about that, as preachers do, God gives him a declaration of independence for the people of Israel, of God's people. And I think what we'll see is it resonates with us even today. And so let's go to Exodus chapter 34. And I'm actually going to read from the Bible. You know, some of us, let me just say as I'm turning there, need to change back over to our Bibles because our cell phones, reading a Bible on our cell phones is way too distracting. Amen? That's why I'm doing it. Let's go to Exodus, David. That is different from Genesis. That's a very different story in Genesis chapter 3. But we're in Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to verse 4. We'll start there. He said, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called out to him from the bush, Moses, Moses, here I am, he answered. Do not come closer, he said. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place you are standing is holy ground. Then he continued, I am the Lord of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I observe the misery of, here he goes with a declaration of independence over these guys. He says, I have observed the misery of my people in Egypt and have heard them crying out because of their oppressors. I know their sufferings and I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians, to bring them from the land of a good and spacious land to a land flowing with milk and honey. The territory of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, all the Ites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. So all of the Israels cry out for help, because the Israelites cry for help has come to me, I have also seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore go, I am sending you to Pharaoh so that you may lead my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Right? So here God is telling Moses that he is about to do a thing to release these guys who were in bondage for all these years. The freedom will be the release of them in captivity, right? The plan of God was to always give the people of Israel to make them a nation, right? To make them a people set apart for him. So here are the Egyptians, which is a huge, we'll get into this in a minute, but is a huge type and shadow of what can happen in our own lives. And this story of the freedom of Egypt is our story. It's a type and shadow of what we have gone through, of what we have experienced through freedom in Jesus, right? The Bible says that the devil comes, he says he takes us captive by him to do his will. Many people have been taken captive by the enemy to do his will. You ask yourself, like, why are bad things happen in our world? Because people are taken captive by the devil to do his will, right? Sin is captive and destructive in our lives. And God wants us to break the chains of those bondages and rip them off of us. Just like God gave the freedom, the declaration of freedom to the Israelites, the freedom has been declared over the people of God through Jesus. God is amazing. He's heard, he says he heard the cry of the people. So I want you to know three different things this morning about freedom, about our freedom in Jesus. The first thing that we need to remember is freedom only comes through God. God is the author of freedom. If you want freedom in your life, whatever bondage that may be, whatever thing that holds you captive, the answer is not the self-help book. It's not, it may help as long as it points you to. It is not the other guru that Brian was talking about this morning. It is through God and God alone. Yes. God is the author of freedom. Yes. He is the author of freedom in my life and in your life. Author of freedom. And that freedom only comes through him, Jesus. Hosea chapter 13 and verse 4. It says, I have been the Lord your God ever since the land of Egypt. You know no God but, he says, you know no God but me. And no Savior exists besides me. There is no Savior but Jesus. There is no Savior but our God. We need to remember that salvation and freedom only comes through the Lord. We see that when this Egyptian, like go back and study this whole deal of the deliverance of Egypt is all a type and shadow of Jesus. Yes. We see even in the moment where the Israelites are about to go into the be led out of Egypt, right? We see the blood that's put on the doorpost, right? We see the lamb actually that was slain. We just sang about the lamb. Jesus, it's no wonder that when John the Baptist sees Jesus, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." It's a callback even to this moment of the deliverance of Egypt, the lamb, and not to mention the Passover itself. If you miss Jessica doing the Passover a couple of months ago, you missed it. It is all, Jesus is all through the Passover supper. So Jesus, like this whole thing of deliverance, God is making a statement to the Israelites then, and he's making a statement to us today that deliverance is only found through the blood of Jesus and the lamb that was slain. It was only found through him. And why is our world in such a messed up place? Because they're not searching in the right place for freedom. It's in Jesus. It's in him. We must understand that freedom doesn't come from a person. It comes from God. The second thing we need to know as I fight with my iPad. The second thing we need to know is that freedom comes. God sets people free to serve him. God sets people free to serve him. Listen to Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5. He says, now if you will carefully listen to me and keep my covenant, you will be my own possession out of all the peoples. Although the whole earth is mine, and you will be my kingdom of priests, my holy nation. These words that you are these are the words you are to say to the Israelites. See, we are called to be this thing that this Old Testament passage calls these people of Israelites back then to be a kingdom and a priests, right? To be part of this kingdom. And to be priests in that kingdom, that representation of God in the earth. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 echoes this very same thing that's in Exodus chapter 9. He says, but you are a chosen, I'm reading out of the New American Standard version in this for this scripture. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, A people of God's own possession. Do you hear that call? This is thousands of years after. This is after Jesus is risen. Peter's talking to the church, saying, remember what God said about the Israelites. And remember what he said when he took them out of Egypt. And he put them, and he says, you are going to be my own special possession, a kingdom of priests. Yes. Peter is now echoing that very same thing. And he's saying, now that fulfillment has come through the person of Jesus. And now you have become that royal race. From every tribe, from every tongue. God is not an American God. God is not an Israelite God. He is a God of all nations through Jesus. That now all, when we see in heaven, right? We see, he says, I looked and I saw the multitude of those who have been saved from every tribe, every tongue, and every people. God has redeemed them. Now we are a race of people that are set apart for God. But watch what Peter continues to say. So that you have been redeemed. What? So that you may proclaim. A lot of you remember that scripture that says the praises of him. That's why I'm reading it in this version. Proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. He has called you out to proclaim. This word, with so many translations, is translated praises. If you dive into this word a little bit more, you'll find that this word actually means that we are to show forth his excellences. His virtues is one of the definitions of the word. His goodness of who God is. You are called. You have been taken out of darkness into his marvelous light to proclaim God's goodness, glory, and his amazing virtue to everyone around you. That's the way God has made us. You are God. Listen, it is not the guy in the pulpit, that guy in the pulpit, that is the person that represents God. It is all of us who represent Jesus on this planet, that you are called to represent him, to go forth and show forth his virtues to your coworker, his goodness, his kindness to your neighbors, your love to those people who don't believe like you believe. Amen? This is what we are called to do. The message, remember, you got to go back to what the message of the Bible is. The message of the Bible is God is always pursuing mankind. And now, through Jesus, he's using you and me to draw people to him.
That's good.
We have been called out of darkness into his marvelous life so that we can just be prosperous and good health and blah, blah, blah. No. We've been brought out of the kingdom of darkness into his marvelous light so that we can proclaim the goodness of God to people all around us. And I don't know about you, there's a whole lot of people who need to see the goodness of God in our world today.
Come on, yes.
Them going to those apartments the other day, what are they doing? They're praying for them. They're condemning them. You're a sinner. You're awful. You know, God hates you. Repent. No, he's saying, no, they're praying for people. They're entering in. They're pushing the kingdom forward into some dark areas. Through goodness, kindness, and Chick-fil-A biscuits, glory to God. Because everybody knows it's the Lord's chicken. That we will live as a testimony of him. Paul says it like this, I am an epistle. What is an epistle? A letter. I am a letter read of all men. My life is a letter. What is your letter saying? Next. And the third thing that God calls us, the third thing we need to know about walking in this freedom, is here's where it gets dicey. And here's where we can actually get religious, but we're not going to go there. God's called us to be out of darkness into freedom, to be holy. There was a book that was written by my guy that I really love, John Eldridge, and he wrote a book called The Utter Relief of Holiness. Some of y'all were here when we actually did that book study. We were bold enough to do a book study in a church called The Utter Relief of Holiness. That was amazing. That's not really popular today. And as much as actually they changed the name of the book, they didn't change the content, but had to change the name because we don't like that word. Let me look at eyeball to eyeball. We don't like that word.
Right.
We don't like that word holy.
That's right.
Right? We have been called out of darkness into holiness, to walk holy, right before God. Right? That we, and part of that is that we do live with this idea that God makes the rules and we don't. We live with this idea and this understanding from the scriptures that when the moment we start trying to say what's right and wrong is where we get mixed up. Well, we start trying to say God and what try to dictate to the world what's right and wrong and go away from what the scriptures and what the word says. Yeah, we enter into that thing that God never intended us to live into. That was the sin of Adam and Eve, right? They wanted to define right and wrong. I know God said that, but what will it hurt? It seems right. It seems good and pleasant to the eye, and it seems good. I'll just go ahead and, right? But God's called us into a different place. He's called us into a walk with Him. And there's another part of that word holy that's related to it, and that word is consecrated. Yeah. We're called to be holy. Now, what does that look like? So in the temple, back in the Old Testament, in the temple, they would have things that they said were for the temple. They had lampstands. They had tables. They had normal things that were for the temple. Well, when God talked about these things, like take a candlestick. When God called a candlestick, He said, and take that candlestick and put it in the temple, for it is holy to me. That table that you have is not like any other table. It is holy to me, right? The things in the temple, that place in the temple is holy to me. So what that means is there's a million different candlesticks. There's a million different lampstands. But this one is in the temple, and it serves the purposes of God. It's not for, this candlestick that's in the temple is not for you and your house to light rooms in your house. This candlestick is for the purposes of God. Only for the purposes of God. He says this, and they say, use this term, these things, and take those things and let them be, what the scripture says, holy to the Lord.
That's right.
In the purposes of God. We are called. Scripture says it like this, that we are not our own. Hear these words. Scripture says we are not our own. We are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. Shall I take my body that's holy to the Lord, right? This is summarization of what Paul's saying. Should I take my body that's holy and separate to the Lord? And he says, should I put it and should I make it one with a prostitute? No. Because you don't understand. You are different. You are called to be different. Don't allow yourself to be unified with something that's unholy. Right? With an act that's unholy. He says that we are called out of darkness into His marvelous light. He's taking them out of Egypt and taking them into a new land that flows with milk and honey. I like both of those things. In large amounts, they're delicious. Especially when that milk is really thick and like cream, and then you freeze it and it turns into ice cream. And then you put honey on it. Like there's milk and honey. Not the band back in the 60s. Not that milk and honey. To land flowing with milk and honey. Richness, right? Goodness. Life. He says, and when you go into this new land, don't allow that world. Don't allow that culture. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you these laws. And when you go there, you're going to be different. But don't allow that stuff to creep in. Don't accept those gods that they serve. Don't accept those things. We are called to be different. Called to be set apart. You know, we hear these things all the time. People say, can I be a Christian and still blah, 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 blah? We hear those things, right? Can I be a Christian and still da, 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 da? Like, how much can I drink and still be a Christian? How much can I do this and still be a Christian? Like, can I, you know, is vaping, is that, can I vape and still be a Christian? Can I do this? Can I do this and still be a Christian? Can I, you know, some of the older people go, vape, what's that? Like, vapor rub, or what is that? But can I do, all the youth are going, Some of y'all are going, ouch, will you please answer that question about vaping and Christianity? And some of you adults are going, will you please answer that question about vaping and Christianity? But we ask those questions, right? Can I be a Christian and still blah, 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 blah? Can I submit to you this morning that you're asking the wrong question?
Come on.
The question is, there is nothing that I can give up. That if I have more of your presence and more of your goodness and more of the life of God in me, you are worth it all. I don't need any of that stuff. All I need is the presence of God. God, you are the giver of life. The disciple says, where will we go? You're the giver of life. We are called to be separate. And will the world be mad at you? Yep. So be it. But don't be a jerk for being a jerk, right? Right? But we're called to be different. I am. But then this is what happens. So those three things. We're called out of Egypt. We're called out of bondage. Right? We're called out of bondage. And that out of bondage is caused by God. God is the initiator of freedom. And then secondly, what we're going to do is we're going to show forth the praises, the goodness, the glory of Him because we've been called out. And we're going to be an example because we're different. And then, and the other thing is, the last thing is this, that we're going to be different kind of people, holy, set apart for His glory. Touch not the unclean thing, right? We're going to be set apart for Him. And religion, I can't go there. But the last thing is this. Sometimes what we do is, actually, I heard this at this part of it at the ramp, and I want to repeat it. It's so worth repeating. So after they see the miracles, they get out and they're out in the wilderness, and God Himself feeds them with manna from heaven. Every day they get fed from God Himself. And they complain and they want to go back to the very bondage that they came out of.
Come on.
They were deceived, and I will say they forgot what bondage was like.
Come on.
They forgot what the bondage was like, so they complained, I'm tired of this manna. You're getting fed from God Himself every day. It's the same old. Like, you talk about, like, the Israelites were, like, expressing, like, first world problems. Like, first God problems right there. I'm getting fed. I'm just manna. I'm so sick of manna. So God does a hilarious thing, by the way, and says, you hate this manna? You want some fish? I'll give you some fish. Fish up to their nostrils. Don't tell me God's not sarcastic. But they get tired of the manna. Watch this. But that's, we can laugh at them all we want, but we do it.
Come on.
We have the Word of God.
Go.
We have the Word of God every day. I can receive manna from heaven every day. I can pray and God's Holy Spirit has come and lived inside of me. And I can get bored of the manna. And I can get tired of the everyday. And bored with the everyday. And I haven't seen enough of you, God, when God pours His love on you every single day. And we say, It's not enough. Just like the manna back then, I would rather go back to bondage. And what happens to believers? This will be the opening of our new series. What happens to believers is they go back into the things that they used to do. They go back into places of bondage. And they're chained all over again. With the way you think. Sexual deals get chained. We receive all those other mental things. People get, and then also, like, not just people who are going back, but then also the enemy wants to bring bondages of mental illness and depression and anxiety. And let me just say, we're going to hit those head on in this series. Because we love to talk about the break the bondage of pornography, break the bondage of this, break the bondage of that, break the bondage of this, and we forget about the people who suffer with anxiety and depression. And we just say, hey, just quote the word, you'll be fine. Good luck, go for it. Hallelujah. You pray for them, you just go, praise the Lord, I bind it in Jesus' name. I bind depression in Jesus' name, now you're free. You're free. And then watch this. If you don't walk in it, it's your fault.
Come on.
We're going to talk about that. We're going to hit it head on. Because I don't know about you. I didn't get into pastoring because I just wanted to have a time where I could speak. I got into pastoring because I want to see people helped, healed, restored, and made whole.
Come on.
If our church stays this size forever, but people get saved, healed, redeemed, and like made whole, well, I don't think it'll stay this size if you do that. But I don't care about the growth. I care about seeing people being delivered and set free and made whole. Amen? And so does the leadership team of this church. We care about seeing people made whole. I don't know about you. I'm not going back to bondage. I'm not going back to Egypt. I remember what that bondage looked like. I remember what whips felt like on my back. I remember what chains felt like on my arm when I battled addiction. I remember that. So man, give me the manna. Give me the manna every day. I receive your daily bread every day, every day, every day. Because your word reminds me of the freedom that I have.